Making aircraft from seaweed. The de Havilland DH-98 Mosquito was one of the most successful combat aircraft of the Second World War. The British aircraft was originally designed in 1940 as an unarmed bomber, fast enough to outpace enemy fighters, but was also modified for use as a bomber and fighter. Nearly 8,000 were built in total. The Mosquito was one of the few operational frontline aircraft that was built largely of wood, hence its nickname, the Wooden Wonder. Wood was used because it was light, but also because metal, particularly aluminium, was in short supply. The reason for this was that aluminium ores had to be imported from overseas, and the ships that were carrying it were liable to be sunk by German submarines. In fact, aluminium became so precious that there was an organisation responsible for locating shot-down aircraft, both Allied and German, and salvaging the aluminium to make new aircraft. Aluminium was also collected from people's homes. Thus, many British aircraft contained metal that had once been part of an enemy plane, or a British saucepan. Some of the wood used in the Mosquito was balsa wood, the same as is used to make model planes, and this also had to be imported from South America. So the search was on for a substitute material that was as strong and light as balsa. One chemist, Dr. Peter Plesch, now a retired distinguished professor at Keele University, recalls his work on this project. The idea was to make a foam using sodium alginate, which was readily available from seaweed. Sodium alginate is a long-chain polymer that gives seaweed its strength in the same way that cellulose does for wood. But sodium alginate is soluble in water, so to make the foam solid, he reacted it with calcium chloride to make solid calcium alginate. While sodium alginate is soluble, calcium alginate is practically the opposite. This is because the doubly charged calcium 2 plus ions link the alginate chains together. The resulting foam could be set in moulds in the form of planks. However, the planks had to be washed to remove the soluble salts, and then dried. Plesch recalls that the resulting fairly floppy slab of gel, still containing about 9 kilograms of water for every kilogram of calcium alginate, could be dried in air in an oven to a fairly rigid material resembling toast, provided the specimens were no larger than a sheet of A4 paper. Anything bigger, let alone an entire slab of gel, warped uncontrollably into bizarre saddle shapes. Eventually, Plesch devised an entirely new method of drying. Paradoxically, this took place underwater. The method involved heating the gel electrically. The gel conducted electricity because of the ionic salts that it contained, and so it could get heated from the inside. He comments that his method of doing it would not have met modern health and safety legislation. I removed half of the water from the planks of gel by drying them underwater. I fixed strips of galvanized iron sheet to serve as electrodes to the ends of the planks, sank them into running water in rubber-lined wooden vats, and connected the electrodes to the 220-volt mains. The heating from the current carried by the salt drove the water and the dissolved salts out through the surface into the cold running water. The process shut itself down when the removal of the salts cut off the current. The planks of foam, then containing only 50% water and free from salts, could be dried in a timber kiln to give hard, undistorted planks. The de Havilland engineers made up a dummy fuselage and declared the planks of foamed calcium alginate fit for purpose. But by 1944, there was no more need for what would have been an expensive process, because the German U-boat threat had receded. One surviving plank, along with its story, is in the Science Museum in London, and another one is in Professor Plesch's office at Keele University, as strong as when it was made in 1944.